The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the sound prints for August 18th is up, JAWS Users Groups, Talking Thermostats has closed, Work Access App Tool, Recruiting Experts in Adaptive Accommodations in the Workplace. Novel Ideas meets September 20th. On Success, Eyes on Success features an interview regarding NavaLens. A Zimbabwean student is attending Columbia University. Her remarkable story: there are different kinds of disabilities, and she overcame a whole lot. Talking Legos, an article on Gizmodo. And if I have time, I will be reading some posts on Cool Blind Tech. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. The Soundprints Audio Magazine podcast for August 18th is now online. Meet Denise Colley, ACB's new secretary, and old-time radio bloopers. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Soundprints Audio Magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Soundprints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Phone 502-895-4598. Email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. Alan Lemley posts, Michael Capel recently started the JFW-users@groups.io list in response to the closure of the JAWS-users-list at groups.io. I am the moderator of this new list and am seeking new members in order to make it the best resource possible for JAWS information. You can subscribe to this new list by sending a blank email to the following, jfw-users+subscribe@groups.io. I will do my best to keep topics on point while encouraging communication, but we need as many JAWS-savvy users as possible in order to have the best knowledge base. Hope to see you on the list. Signed, Alan Lemley. In response to that post, Norma Bogue wondered why there's a new JAWS list when there's already a well-established and active list for JAWS users, and provides the following information. The info for the JFW list is below. I joined the list right after David moved his now-defunct list. The owner of the JFW list posted a history the other day, and it seems the list goes back quite a ways. Thanks, Norma. JFW list instructions. To post a message to the list, send it to jfw@groups.io. To unsubscribe, send a message saying unsubscribe. Archives loaded, located at http://www.groups.io/g/jfw/threads. Alternative archives located at http://nnabl.com/jaws-4-windows-f214-5279.html. If you have any concerns about the list, posts received from the list, or the way the list is being run, do not post them to the list. Rather, contact the list owner at jfw+owner@groups.io. Janet Dickelman posts, many of you have this product. Please see note below from Harry Cohen. Signed, Janet Dickelman. TalkingThermostats.com. P.O. Box 27145, Golden Valley, Minnesota, 55427. Telephone 763-591-9557. Dear friends of the blind and visually impaired community, my name is Harry Cohen, and my company, TalkingThermostats.com, has supplied many of you with Talking Thermostats and excellent customer service over the past 16 years. I am writing to inform you that as of this date, we will be exiting the talking thermostat business and closing our company. This was a difficult decision to make. We were helped with this decision by the manufacturer, Bimax Alliance, who is also our supplier of the VIP talking thermostat. Because of poor inventory control by our supplier, their stock of talking thermostats was depleted in January of this year. In addition, our supplier changed to a new electronic assembly vendor in China. Both of these issues by our supplier have caused very long lead times, resulting in a stock-out condition of thermostats, not only for our company, but also for our competitors. All the VIP talking thermostats come from the same factory in China. We have not had thermostats to ship since February. Bimax Alliance told us we would have thermostats in April, then they changed the delivery to the end of July. It is now the third week of August and still no thermostats. During these 6+ months, we still offered customer and technical support, even though there was no income being generated. Without income, we can no longer afford to pay rent, keep the lights on, and keep the phones active. Therefore, we are closing up shop. With the closure of our business, product questions and warranty issues now revert back to Bimax Alliance, the VIP 3000 manufacturer and supplier. Bimax Alliance can be reached at 866-936-6622. Over the past 16 years, this business has given me the opportunity to establish relationships with the blind and visually impaired community of the United States and provide another means to help people with visual impairments live more independently. Thank you for this opportunity. Signed, sincerely, Harry Cohen. Harry@talkingthermostats.com. From Jean Fike, subject: recruitment for expert interviews. I thought some or all of you might be interested in participating in this project that the Georgia Tech ACT program is undertaking to develop a new online tool for workplace accommodations. Feel free to distribute to others in your network who might be interested in participating. Expert interviews, development of the Workplace Accommodation Expert Support System, Work Access. When faced with a workplace accommodation problem, would you like to be able to hear how others have solved it? Are you frustrated when you see a solution that an employer or employee made on their own that is not working well because it was chosen without adequate information? We are developing Work Access, a new online tool and app to help people, particularly employers and employees with disabilities, make informed accommodation decisions. We would like your input on what assessment questions need to be asked, what solutions should be prioritized for different scenarios, and when outside experts should be consulted. You can contribute your experience to the development of the tool by participating in one or more of our internet-based group interviews. For accessibility and to help you follow along, each session will include real-time captioning. 5 to 8 people will participate in each session. The session will include critical review and brainstorming of assessment questions and decision branches for already begun and new accommodation scenarios. For example, participants might review the decision branches that we have outlined for telephone use and note that we forgot to include solutions for people who have trouble remembering phone numbers. A participant might share a solution that he or she used for multi-phone lines, while another might note that questions should be added to determine whether the traditional telephone is required or whether other communication methods, for instance, text message, could be used as a substitute. You will be asked to spend about half an hour reviewing the section of materials to be discussed, then participate in a group interview that will last 1.5 hours. You will receive $40 as compensation for your time. In order to take part in the interviews, you must have experience using and or recommending workplace accommodations. Be 18 years old or older. Work in and participate from the United States. Be fluent in spoken or written English. We will be covering different topics throughout the year. Note that your particular expertise may match up best with a session later in the year. You are welcome to participate in multiple sessions. Reading documents, Wednesday, August 21st, 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Moving around the workplace, limited to individuals who use mobility devices. Monday, September 9th, 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. If you are interested in participating or have further questions, please contact Liz Persaud, P-E-R-S-A-U-D, or Karen Milchus, M-I-L-C-H-U-S. Email liz.persaud@gatfl.gatech.edu or karen.milchus@design.gatech.edu. You can call them at 404-894-4960. Novel Ideas meets September 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern to discuss The Other Wife by Michael Robotham, DB93349. Below is the synopsis from Bookshare. Childhood sweethearts William and Mary have been married for 60 years. William is a celebrated surgeon, Mary a devoted wife. Both have a strong sense of right and wrong. This is what their son, Joe O'Loughlin, has always believed. But when Joe is summoned to the hospital with news that his father has been brutally attacked, his world is turned upside down. Who is the strange woman crying at William's bedside, covered in his blood? A friend, a mistress, a fantasist, or a killer? Against the advice of the police, Joe launches his own investigation. As he learns more, he discovers sides of his father he never knew, and is forcibly reminded that the truth comes at a price. Join us at this Zoom meeting to discuss this great book. Hosted by Randy Shelton, email rshelton820@gmail.com. Co-host Ruth Ann Acosta, ruth1244@gmail.com. Date, Friday, September 20, 2019. Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and elsewhere in the world, Saturday, midnight, Greenwich Mean Time. We hope you'll join us to discuss this great book. About 10 minutes before the program, dial the Zoom numbers or execute the Zoom meeting link found on your Zoom invitation. Robert Acosta is inviting you to a scheduled Zoom meeting. Topic, novel ideas. Time meets third Friday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/j/58414962 or iPhone OneTap in the U.S. +1408638098 (#58414962) or +1646 876 99231 (#58414962). In the U.S., you can call 1408638 0986 or 1646 876 9923 and use the meeting ID 584-149-162. International numbers are available at https://zoom.us/u/U(#90A6CR). The Accessible World, a division of Helping Hands for the Blind, a 501c3, not-for-profit organization, seeks to educate the general public, the disabled community, and the professionals who serve them by providing highly relevant information about new products, services, and training opportunities designed specifically to eliminate geographic and access barriers that adversely affect them. Signed, Randy Shelton. Eyes on Success, Episode 1935, Navilens Navigation System, aired August 28, 2019. Show notes. Navilens uses your smartphone's camera to read pre-printed tags in order to provide visually impaired individuals with information pertinent to their environment. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy talk with Borja Lopetegui, a business developer at Navilens, about how this innovative technology works and how you can use it free for personal use. The audio and show notes are available at www.eyesonsuccess.net, and the podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. Check out Eyes on Success, formerly Viewpoints, a weekly half-hour audio program for people living with vision loss. Find out more about the show and get links to past episodes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. A Surprising Path to the Ivy League by Frank Bruni for the New York Times. Gertrude Mukurumidze, another USAP student, graduated from Bryn Mawr and now attends Georgetown University Medical School. Wadzene Mayaseni from Zimbabwe is attending Columbia University, thanks in part to the United Student Achievers Program. You've read a lot over the past year about kids who end up in the Ivy League because of their parents' wealth and wiles, kids with obscene advantages. I'd like to introduce you to another kind of kid who landed there. Her name is Wadzenai Mayaseni. She goes by Wadzi. Before Wadzi, 19, arrived at Columbia University last month for a summer bridge program to prepare for her first year, she'd never been to the United States. She'd never left Africa. She's from Zimbabwe, one of the poorest countries in the world, where her mother, who raised her without any help from her father, has been out of a steady job since Wadzi was 9. When Wadzi was 12, she found out she had bone cancer, which meant not just chemotherapy, but the amputation of most of her left leg. I asked her how, psychologically and emotionally, that changed her. She said it made her more determined. "You're not defined by the things that hold you back," she told me. "You're defined by how you rise above them." She refused to be placed in classes for disabled children, and later figured out how to get a scholarship to one of Zimbabwe's most esteemed private high schools. Then she figured out how to translate that into the best college education possible. She got help with that last part from the nonprofit United Student Achievers Program, which for 2 decades has identified disadvantaged high school students of enormous promise in Zimbabwe, coached them through applying to top-notch colleges outside of their country, and steered them toward futures they never imagined. And by disadvantaged, I mean students who in some cases grew up herding livestock and in other cases were strangers to computers. I mean orphans, largely because of the AIDS epidemic. About a third of Zimbabwe's USAP students have lost both parents. I met one such student, Gertrude Mukurumidze, last year. By the time she was 9, her mother, father, and 6-month-old sister had died from complications related to AIDS. Then she bounced among the members of her extended family who could afford at a given moment to keep her. She nonetheless went on to graduate from Bryn Mawr and is now in medical school at Georgetown University. There are USAP programs in other developing countries. They not only provide students with the guidance necessary to apply to foreign colleges, but also help with application fees and financial aid forms. Zimbabwe's USAP was the model and remains the gold standard. It has sent more than 400 students abroad, mostly to the United States, where the schools they've attended include Stanford, Harvard, Yale, MIT, the University of Chicago, Duke, Pomona, you name it. Many went on to earn PhDs. Many became physicians. 6 won Rhodes scholarships. That's worth dwelling on for several reasons, starting with this one. Zimbabwe is the sort of place that President Donald Trump had in mind when he used a fecal epithet for poor, black, and to his thinking, worthless countries. But there is obviously great potential there, needing only to be recognized and nurtured. Countries don't fall neatly into categories, good versus bad sources of immigrants. Reality is more complicated. Talent is universal. For example, in another desperate part of Africa, Somaliland, there's a remarkable school, Abarso, that Jonathan Starr, an American philanthropist, opened in 2009. It educates children in grades 7 through 12. Its alumni have been admitted to and receive financial aid from Harvard, Yale, Columbia, Brown, MIT, and Swarthmore. These institutions' receptiveness is another reason I'm writing this. Yes, America's richest colleges stay that way by giving special consideration to families with the means to make big donations. But they simultaneously use some of their wealth, if not quite enough, to educate students who cannot contribute a dime to their tuition. Zimbabwe's USAP is also the story of the difference that one person can make. It's run by and was the brainchild of Rebecca Ziegler-Mano, an American who married a Zimbabwean, moved to Zimbabwe, and just couldn't shrug off the country's misery. There's a big gap, a big chasm, between the talent that we have in Zimbabwe and the opportunities, she said on the first of two occasions over the last 13 months when I spoke with her in New York. She returns frequently to America, in part to raise funds. Her program has become so well-known and widely respected in Zimbabwe that every year she gets 700 to 800 applications for about 35 spots. I'd like to tell Harvard that we are more competitive than they are, she said. Many of the applicants are from remote rural areas. She tirelessly crisscrosses the country to interview them. She also builds networks in the United States for the students who come here so that they have places to go on school breaks they can't afford to fly home, and so that there are people who help with things like sheets and blankets. At the start, she didn't factor in their entire array of needs and got reports that USAP students were sleeping on bare dormitory room beds. She's one of my life heroes, said Bruce Wharton, who was the public affairs officer in the U.S. Embassy in Zimbabwe when the USAP began. I don't know anybody who has done so much on an individual personal level to make our world better. Her ambitions are expanding. She plans to open a USAP boarding school in Zimbabwe next year. Money permitting, it will give up to 50 Zimbabwean students their 11th and 12th grade educations so that they're in the best shape possible to thrive when they go to college abroad. She told me that she also hoped that the school would give the kids a deeper investment in Zimbabwe. In her ideal scenario, they bring the knowledge that they've acquired in college back to a country with a shortage of leaders, innovators, and hope. Wadzi said that she could envision getting a medical degree in the United States, becoming a pediatric oncologist, and then returning home to help children who confront medical scares like the one that she survived. I asked her about her impressions of America so far. She mentioned a trip to see up close a world-famous landmark that was familiar from so many pictures, the Statue of Liberty. It was right in front of me, she said. I was awestruck. You know the crown represents seven continents, she added, referring to the spikes that radiate from it. She was transfixed by the fact that an icon so central to one country would allude to all the others by the generosity of that symbolism, by its inclusiveness. I remember really smiling, she told me, because I felt a part of that. She said that the tablet that Lady Liberty holds brought to mind studying, learning, growing. That, too, made her smile. I'm here for an education, she said, and there's a statue embodying what I've come for. From Gizmodo.com, Lego is finally introducing audio and braille building instructions for the visually impaired by Andrew Leshefsky, posted on 9:30 a.m. August 28th. Categories, toys and collectibles, action figures, statues, exclusives, and other merchandise. Beware, if you look here, you're probably going to spend some money afterwards. Lego remains one of the most popular and valuable toy lines, but the company's sets are also some of the least accessible to those dealing with visual impairments. To remedy this, the Danish toy maker has announced a pilot program to update its building instructions with verbal descriptions so each step is compatible with Braille and screen readers, and it's using AI to automate the time-consuming process. Lego's newest sets leverage the world's most popular toy to teach kids Braille. A couple of years ago, design agency Lulara/TBWA created a set of Lego-like bricks Earlier this year, LEGO leveraged the popularity and iconic design of its stud top building pieces to help teach kids Braille. But this new initiative has nothing to do with learning. LEGO isn't completely inaccessible to the visually impaired. They can still stack blocks and build whatever they can imagine. But the popularity of the building toy, at least in the past few decades, has been as a result of the company's licensed sets. Everything from Harry Potter to Marvel to Star Wars. And it's those sets that have been inaccessible to children and even adult collectors, unless they have someone else diligently describing and guiding them through each step of the highly visual build instructions. A few years ago, a story about Matthew Schifrin, a blind LEGO enthusiast, made the rounds on the internet. On his 13th birthday, a friend, Lilia Finkel, gifted him not only a massive 841-piece LEGO set, but an equally giant binder stuffed with hundreds of pages that translated the set's building instructions into a special notation she had developed that verbally described how all the pieces assembled without the use of any images. Schifrin shared these with the world, and Finkel eventually created blind accessible instructions for over 20 LEGO sets. But it was an extremely time-consuming process, and unfortunately, when she passed away in 2017, she had barely scratched the surface of LEGO's massive collection of sets. Through a friend at MIT, Schifrin eventually made contact with the LEGO group, who not only found an innovative way to continue Finkel's translation work, but to almost completely automate it. Working with the Austrian Research Institute for Artificial Intelligence, a new AI was developed that could translate the 3D models and instructions for assembling a LEGO model, known as LXFML, or LEGO Exchange Format MEL script, into step-by-step text-based descriptions that can be displayed on a Braille reader or read aloud by a screen reader as voice instructions. The AI is still being perfected, but LEGO hopes that it will eventually not only be able to convert the instructions from the company's vast past library of sets, but also for every new set as soon as it's released. Every new set as soon as it's released in any language required, with minimal additional effort or human input. For now, on a new accessible website, www.legoaudioinstructions.com, LEGO has released inclusive instruction manuals in English for four sets that include LEGO Classic Bricks and Ideas, LEGO Friends Emma's Art Shop, LEGO City Sky Police Drone Chase, and the LEGO Movie 2, Emmett and Benny's Build and Fix Workshop. It's a solid first step, and based on feedback on these first four, the company intends to launch more of them in early 2020, and it will hopefully also consider updating the packaging it uses. In addition to the special instructions she had devised, Finkel also sorted and rebagged the pieces in the set she gifted Schifrin many years ago, so that it was easier to find them as he worked through each step. The initiative isn't just about LEGO expanding its market and being able to sell sets to even more kids, or even a chance for the company to generate some positive PR. I'm sorry I couldn't finish that piece of the story. I've run out of time for today's reading of Vision News. We hope you've enjoyed it. My name is Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.